This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Toki. Toki is a simple time-tracking utility for the Mac. It shows you how much time you spend on your computer and breaks usage activity down per application. What's really neat is that Toki can use your app.net account to sync activities between any of your computers with Toki installed. For more information and an App Store download link, please visit kkob.us/toki. That's kkob.us/toki. Welcome to episode 21 of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to Discover ADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Matthew Miller, who goes by the name Matthew M. Space on app.net. He's a student, a journalist, and upcoming software developer who calls sunny California his home. Please join me in welcoming Matthew to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hi.
Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
Well, I joined app.net in February 2013 after they added a free tier. Thanks to Steve Strezza, who used to work at Pocket. I'm not exactly quite sure what he's doing now, but he was tweeting on invites. I'm like, sure, I'll join it. And then after I hit the 40-fall limit, all right, I'll plunk down it was $36. So I'm like, all right, I'll put down the $36 and go full at it.
All right. And aside from the invitation, can you tell us why did you join app.net?
Well, I joined out of curiosity because I hadn't really heard much about it. I think since it launched, I joined it really because I knew that it was about that time when Twitter started to kill off the really good apps with their API changes. And I'm like, this is kind of annoying. Why are you killing off all these apps? And so I just felt like joining because I'm like, oh, there's going to be really good apps. And many of the people on Twitter were coming there also hanging out. And I'm like, you know what, let's figure out what this is and see how it goes.
Well, I hope you found some applications to your liking. Let me ask this next question. You use a pseudonym. Can you tell us, where does the space in Matthew M. Space come from?
Well, Matthew M. Space is my AOL Instant Messenger chat a few years ago. So my friend actually came up with it. He's like, I'm like, hey, man, I was probably talking to him one day, and I'm like, what should I put my username as? And he's like, Matthew Space. And so I just stick with that, and it's just that's really how it goes. I just did Matthew Space because it's just my friend came up with it, and I just keep using it because it's a short and easy to remember.
You consider 13 characters short?
Well, I've seen some really wild unintelligible usernames. It's not short, but it's at least you can like type it out really easily.
All right, well, I will grant you that one. Can you tell us, what would you like to see more of on app.net?
Well, it's probably cliche, but I would like to see more people on app.net, yet without the service, going in a different direction, you know, without it turning into not being as great as it is now. Because there's a lot of stuff on people on Twitter, but some really in the nature that I think ADN is currently at, with, you know, everyone like liking each other and people not just throwing stuff at each other and being mean. You know, there's some people like that on Twitter who really I would not like them to be on the service, but there are others I'm like, hey, you look like you could offer something to the service, why don't you come check it out? And then when I invite them, they're like, app.net is dead. And I'm like, have you been on recently? It's not dead. It's, you know, so I would like to see more people, but I don't want it to go down. I would also like to see, you know, I think this actually goes for tech in general, but like more women on the service. Like there's I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, so sorry, Anna, but Anna Tarkov, there's Yasmin, there's Brianna, and then there's like Shauna, but there aren't really as many as there could be. You know, there's it's you can find them, but it's sometimes a little difficult because they, I mean, they're women where I'm a guy. There's a lot different. They can offer a different perspective, and that'd be nice to, you know, talk to more people with more perspectives.
I completely agree. All right, let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
That's a hard question. I'm not really sure what I want to be known for yet. I'm just trying to figure that out at the moment. But I don't want to be known as, like, a complete jerk, I guess. I don't want to be, you know, because some of my stuff I post isn't, you know, it's probably dumb. And, you know, I mean, I'm a teenager. I've probably posted a bunch of dumb stuff since I've been on the internet. But I don't, you know, I would blame it to, like, actually, I'm like, I usually don't admit this, but like, I wouldn't, I'm on the autistic spectrum, but like, I'm not going to blame it on that entirely. I mean, it's probably just also my being a teenager that's probably just interfering. You know, I usually wouldn't admit that I'm on the autistic spectrum, but because Randolph did it on a few episodes ago at the time of recording this, I feel like, you know what, I might as well share it as well. So thanks, Randolph, for paving the way.
Well, you're certainly not alone in that regard. Let me ask a slightly different question. You write for the Droid Guide. Could you tell us a little bit about tech journalism in 2014?
Sure. Well, tech journalism, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff you have to learn. You have to learn to, posting quickly so that people can get the news, you also have to learn to not mess up. Because if you mess up, you're hosed. I got that job by accident. But actually, like, in June, I was seeing lots of people getting jobs as tech writers, and I'm like, I tweeted out some like, who's looking for a tech writer? And then I got a bunch of responses. An hour later, I started writing. It's really interesting how that happened, because my parents didn't actually even know. I didn't tell them until October 2013. But I try to take advantage of being, you know, 18 with a student perspective, like, because I see, like, I'm not, you know, with a bunch of other journalists at my house or at my school, so I see phones people are using in the wild, and while most of them are either iPhones or Samsung phones, I see sometimes the writing. It's like interesting to see where the trends are going in technology and how I can inform people to pick good phones over absolutely terrible ones.
Aside from the necessity for perfection, what do you find to be the most difficult part of writing for the Droid Guide?
Well, aside from perfection, it's finding something that people might be interested in, because, you know, something that might be interesting to me might not be as interesting to someone else, so it might not be newsworthy. Like, if there's an app I like that has gotten updated, I'm not going to, and it's not a major app, like it's not a podcasting app or it's not a totally new app that people have been wanting for a while, like Mailbox, you know, it's just hard to find sometimes what people might find interesting, you know. That's probably it. Finding something that everyone can find interesting and not just about me being interested in it.
So, speaking of being interested in something, can you tell us about Uncarrier?
Uncarrier. Well, here in the U.S., we've got four big carriers. We've got AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile. And until, like, last year, pretty much every single one of them just price gouged you for your data. They are on AT&T until recently. Our plan cost us $225 U.S. dollars per month for not that much data altogether. And so last year T-Mobile started to change that. They have unlimited data. If you roam outside of the country, you get unlimited data. Even though it's on edge, you get unlimited calling. So Uncarrier is really just T-Mobile's slogan about, hey, let's fix this really screwed up industry. And it's, their CEO is just hilarious, John Legere, I don't know how to pronounce it, but his tweets are just, he's so funny, because he just blatantly insults everyone just with saying Uncarrier does this, and it's just their slogan. It's just funny.
Your bio says that you are a future app developer who has upset Apple on a number of occasions. Can you tell us what platform would you like to write software for?
Well, I'd like to start out with iOS, since my primary phone is an iPhone, and many, many people have iPhones these days. Even though there's more Androids, there's still a lot of people on iPhone, and I don't have to deal with as many devices. On the iPhone, there's essentially going to, after this year, there's probably going to be four screen sizes and on the iPhone, and maybe two or three on the iPad. So it's probably just easier to start there first, but then I'll probably branch out to Android and Windows Phone afterwards, because it'd be nice to learn how to develop for all the platforms. That way I can be platform agnostic.
What kind of applications would you like to create?
Well, I have, well, it's hard for me to say because I really don't want to give away the ideas, but some of them are probably fairly rudimentary. Like there's some apps that I'm like, oh, this could be a good app. If like I see an app, I'm like, oh, maybe this app could be better. Like there's an app that I see out there that exists, and I'm like, this app performs great, but it hasn't been updated in a while. Maybe I can make one of that. Or I heard some people at Macworld. I was at Macworld iWorld earlier this year, and I heard some people saying, you know, I'd like an app that does this. And so I'm like, you know, I'll write that down, and if Apple doesn't beat me to it, then I could probably make it myself. Because I had an idea for Find My Friends in probably 2009, and then in 2011, Apple's like, here you go. I'm like, oh, that idea is gone.
Do you have any plans to create an application that uses app.net in some fashion?
Yes, I think I will make an app that uses app.net in the background. Definitely.
Well, I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I just gotta learn how to code first. That's the trouble.
Well, I wish you luck. Let's look at this next question. Can you tell us about something that you like?
Something that I like? Just anything? Really? Okay. All right. Something I like. Well, stuff I like to do, I like to obviously just be on the computer and read about things and watch hours of YouTube videos, but something I like. Well, I like to eat hamburgers. I love hamburgers and fries. You've probably seen my Foursquare posts saying, hey, look, I'm at Five Guys getting food, or I'm at Frozen Yogurt, but I like those. Other stuff I like. I like to play video games. I still have a Wii, not a Wii U, I still have a Wii, so I love playing Mario Galaxy on that, because that's a great video game series. Other stuff, I don't do much stuff. I don't really do much outside of the tech sphere, because I don't really follow sports, and I am not athletic, so that's not for me. I like sports, but I only keep up so that people aren't like, at school, aren't like, hey, did you see that, who? So I pay attention to like the American Football Super Bowl or the Major League Baseball World Series. That way I am not completely ignorant when people walk up to me and say, hey, did you see the game? That's about my extent for sports. But I just like tech and going out to decent restaurants, I guess.
Well, I think many of us can say the very same. All right. Well, let's move on to the final part of our show. And this is where we get to recommend some of the people in our timelines that we find so interesting. So could you recommend for us three people who you enjoy interacting with?
Sure. Well, someone I'd probably recommend would be Charlotte. I don't know how to pronounce their last name, Denoise or something like that. That's one person I'd recommend to follow because we both we're both like 17, 18 or something like that. We're both teenagers. We both complain about our absolutely abysmal education systems in our countries. Like they live in the UK, in the United Kingdom, and I live in the United States, but it seems like we both share a lot of grievances with our education systems and their inadequacy to tell us what to do exactly. They also, like, they're a filmographer, so it's, like, I'm in video production, but I'm nowhere near the level of caliber that they're doing. Like, they're posting really cool stuff. Like, I know they're working on something they're working on a time-lapse, and that seems really cool, because that's something I probably couldn't pull off of, so it's really nice to see what they're up to. So that's one person. One other person would probably be, you know, Fabian Kunz. He's the guy who made the really great Kiwi app he made Felix for app.net a great iPhone client, and it works great, and he also posts, like, he's a developer, so you can learn some really cool development stuff from him, and he also posts really funny videos sometimes. Like, he posted something recently talking about just funny things. Like, he posted a photo about a really dirty car, and he said, what a car. It's just, some of his posts are just really funny, but he's also a really cool developer because he made it one of the apps I use on my iPhone every day. Another person I'd recommend would be Sam Weinberg. Like, he's a web developer, and he's just like me. He's also a high school student, we both can agree that our education systems are, we both live in the United States, so we can both agree on that. You know, they respond to a bunch of my posts. It's really nice to talk to them. Like, we have lots of, like, I've seen that, like, he's posting lots of stuff on, you know, like, he's talked about, you know, stuff like for backing projects that I've seen, like technology. We both agree that net neutrality in the U.S. is in danger, so we need to, I'm probably explaining this really terribly, but it's really interesting. Like, I'm seeing, he posted something about how Buffer, the service, lets you share, like, links to everywhere. They're being transparent about stuff, which is great, because there's lots of stuff that isn't transparent, like the NSA, which I'm not going to go off and rant about that. I could rant about that for a while, just like the carriers here in the States, but that's 3PO I'd recommend.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those recommendations, and thank you again for being my guest on Discover ADN.
Thanks. This was shorter than I thought it'd be, but this is a great podcast.
This concludes the 21st episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Matthew for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Toki. Have a nice day!